This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
It was bound to happen.
Rain and the cold.
No.
And the gray.
Mike Tyson losing?
You can't be the 1972 Miami Dolphins.
Oh. I didn't see a second of that game yesterday.
I would rather lose early on the road.
It's the 10th week.
I know, but I mean, not during the playoffs. If we're going to lose one, I would rather the loss have come now. And then let's shake it off and move on.
It'll help refocus them.
I agree.
What Gotta do you lose a couple.
What do you mean you didn't see a second of the game? Where were you?
I was at QT.
Oh, you had to work yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not cool.
Yeah.
Did like a combined three people come in?
Seven and a half.
During the body of the Chiefs
during
game?
During a home game, that tally is like 750 million.
Coming
in
to
away
get beer.
Game, it's about seven.
Yeah.
Can I also tell you that Saturday night before the Chiefs hangover that we all have today, and I don't mean alcohol, I mean just the loss, most of America was trying to tune in to watch the fight on Netflix. I was not online. My phone was nowhere near me. I did not realize until the very next day that it wasn't our Wi-Fi signal.
Yes.
I kept saying, we're going to need a booster. We need to go get a Wi-Fi booster.
Oh, yeah. This was a problem.
Damn
Friday
thing
night.
Kept buffering so and buffering.
That was Friday night. And we started watching right at 7 o'clock. I went to a buddy's house who has Netflix. We started watching right at 7 o'clock. It was fine all the way up until the fight everybody wanted to see, which was the girls' fight.
The women's fight.
Taylor.
Wow.
Yeah. That fight was fantastic, and I watched it on an illegal stream on my phone because my roommate who paid for Netflix couldn't get the stream.
Could we also talk? Well, there's a couple of things we need to break down about the fight because there's nothing else to say about the Chiefs game.
60 million households, by the way, tuned in for the fight on Friday night.
Netflix
Netflix
needs clearly like a bigger band, like whatever they need to get if they're going to host an event like that, they need to do it. I'm sure that the higher-ups understand that.
But the gaslighting of saying that it was our Wi-Fi connection.
I know. I was like, I really truly thought it was something with our Wi-Fi that we needed a booster, like whatever it was.
Did you turn it off and back on?
I did. All right, I did Netflix. I blew, you know, is there something over there that like I wiggled cords? I did not realize when those two women got into the ring that that was going to be the fight of the evening because the Tyson-Paul fight, what a snooze fest.
Well, so it was Serrano-Taylor was fantastic, and the Mario Barrio fight, I believe his opponent was Abel Ramos.
Okay.
Those two fights were really good.
Let's go back to the women's fight.
Yeah.
At the point that you have injured meat dangling off of your face, I just need to make a couple of comments. Number one, do they not stop the fight again when you have facial skin meat hanging off your face? Do they not stop the fight? That's question number one. Followed up by, do we have to keep zooming in on that injury?
Okay. Look at it. Look at it.
Oh my gosh, that was so disgusting.
They did call timeout twice because
yes.
It was so egregious. And so the ref calls timeout and says, hey, we're going to get the team doctor
up here.
They're
putting Vaseline on it. I'm like, that ain't going to stop what's going on there.
And yes, they have to zoom in on it the entire time.
But Sam, not once. They zoomed in on that dangling piece of forehead meat like 19 times. We get it. She is injured. The fight at that point probably needed to be called. And then the last thing I'm going to say is she got robbed.
Oh, she 100% got robbed because Taylor is not – you're not allowed to headbutt in boxing. You're not allowed to headbutt in any of the fighting sports. It is strictly prohibited.
She's dirty.
And
she is a dirty fighter.
That Serrano's eye was torn was because Taylor headbutt her every single chance she got because she could, knew that she couldn't win with the fists.
You know, I am so glad that I go to bed early.
You missed all of that?
I tried really hard to stay up for the Tyson fight. I think I made it to 10-ish.
Okay.
And I was reading, waiting.
Because the Tyson fight didn't start till what, 10:30, 10:40 hour
11.
Time?
It's not just that Serrano got robbed because she was headbutted. It's because every single metric, when you looked at the punches thrown and all of that, she won every single metric. And then she lost the fight. That makes no sense to me. And then last thing we're going to say about the fight.
Did you just become a boxing expert?
Yes, last thing I'm going to say about it, and then we're going to move on. I understand why they have ring girls in the boxing ring.
Oh, boy.
I do. And those were four of the loveliest
performers.
Breasts that I have seen in a while. I mean, they were right up there. On display.
Yeah, they were.
Strategically placed. Ladies, did you notice this? Every single time they zoomed in to someone with the microphone, you didn't see just one of the ring girls.
Mm-mm.
They were perfectly strategically placed.
You did see the girls.
So a gigantic pair of boobs were just gigantic on the screen right in front of the announcer.
Oh, yeah, right next to both shoulders.
If you Google this, you will get results, Scott. You didn't even see the woman's face.
Yeah, go to
woman's
the internet
face.
Start looking stuff up.
You didn't even see the woman's face. The faces were never in frame. It was just this gigantic spillage of not even cleavage. I don't even know what. There was very little left to the imagination.
Just boob.
It was, yes,
now tell
in tandem.
Now tell the boys what you told me before the show.
I just said the girls looked very uncomfortable when they would pan out and you would see both very young women. They had a look, a deer in the headlights, awkward fake smile look on their face.
Okay. My name is The Truth.
I think they were trying to do that though.
Hang on.
Smile.
Here's what Dana said off the air.
No, those were very young women. They're probably in their 20s.
She said, "Did you see those girls with the gigantic breasts on the fight on Friday night?" And I said, "No, I didn't see it." And she said, "I'm going to ask you something. I want you to tell me the truth. Did they hit every branch on the ugly tree on the way down?"
First of all, that is not what I said. I just said, is that the reason the camera guys never panned directly out and all you saw was this gigantic rack taking up the entire screen like 36,000 times?
Well, they're set dressings. They're part of the show. And so they get in there.
They're like a table dresser.
Just wonder if it's time that we maybe...
Oh, that's a coveted position.
How many people tuned in to that event? Do we know?
60 million homes.
Tried to.
What would you say would be... I need a benchmark. What is the average for just like a normal Friday night boxing fight that I
60 million.
Used to watch with my grandpa?
Well, so if you're taking UFC into account, it's in the tens of millions.
Okay, but not 60 million for this one.
Not for boxing, not anymore. Remember, UFC is the mixed martial arts, all that has...
I thought in the first two rounds,
hold on,
Tyson might get him, you guys. I thought he is going to throw one gigantic punch and Jake Paul is going to go down, and that is just not what happened.
So the 60 million, that is worldwide. That is not just in the United States.
Yeah, but you would have the opportunity to watch many of those events worldwide if you chose.
Which, by the way, at 287 million subscribers, only 60 million choosing to watch
the fight. That's 20%. That's good.
Worldwide.
That's like a 20 share.
I mean, that's really good for what it was, considering that Jake Paul is essentially just a low-level boxing promoter who's trying to make it big.
He beat Tyson.
Well, he only threw 87 punches.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere. Most.
What are the conspiracy theories, Sam?
Oh, everybody thinks that it's rigged. Everybody.
Just a show.
For what purpose?
Just to make some money?
Well, this has long been an argument about these boxing bouts that, for whatever reason, get sanctioned. It was the same thing at the end of Floyd Money Mayweather's career. They're doing these fights for $300-400 million. They're doing their best to make sure that thing goes all 12 rounds because they get money off of the commercials. They get money off of all of it. And so people are saying it's rigged. I don't think it was. I think that Mike Tyson's just 58 years old. And
he looked it. He looked tired. He didn't look 58. I mean, he looked like the most incredible shape for a 58-year-old. You could be honest.
He still had some speed.
Yes, but not against a 28-year-old.
The problem is, if you had watched the videos leading up to the fight of Tyson working out and training, I mean, it's like, and he's just hitting this bag with rapid-fire speed, and you're thinking, that's what we're going to get when he gets in the ring. And he goes up to Jake Paul and hits him with a mountain of these fast punches. And Jake
a 1-2-3
Paul,
combo.
Jake Paul goes into a coma until Christmas.
Right.
and it was like tap, tap, tap. My daughter Sarah texted me in the middle of the night and said, boring fight.
Oh, yeah. Didn't bring the fire.
I mean, but the thing is, but here's the problem with boxing. This was a marquee event. For a sport that is faded, let's be honest, it's not the Sugar Ray Leonard of the 1980s or Mike Tyson in the 90s.
Yeah, I was going to say even the Mike Tyson's
Muhammad
in
Ali
90s,
in
yeah.
the 60s and 70s. I can't name a boxer other than Mike Tyson.
And the other guy that was fighting
him. And if this was going to be the window into the boxing world for young people like my daughter or for others, when you just see two little kittens like tapping each other on the forehead, what's
also,
the interest?
Also, Dan, do we know what was the Rosie Perez
connection?
Yeah.
Why Rosie Perez?
I don't know.
Right? There were just so many things about it that I was like,
why was she the color commentator?
The Twilight Zone of boxing events.
Well, they couldn't convince the real boxing commentators to treat this like a real boxing event because they know that it wasn't. Jake Paul is not a boxer. Jake Paul is...
he's an influencer.
Exactly. He works in the industry of gaining eyeballs, and becoming a fight promoter is his next big attempt to gain eyeballs.
Right. Okay.
Quick break. Dana Wright, Sam Stevens III. Yeah. My name is Scott.
We've got a lot coming up on this program today. Local case. Mom is charged. How young is too young to leave your children home alone? We've all maybe thought about it. Can I just run to the store? Can I run and do this? She did it, and the two children were injured. I will leave it at that. We are going to talk about that in the 4 o'clock hour of Dana and Parks.
When we get back, everybody knows about the monkey at Pet Stop in Shawnee.
I did not. I am late to this party, but apparently he is local famous.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And there is a call to
save him.
Free him. 913-586-7798. We'll get to that story when we come back here on Dana and Parks. So if you've lived in town any length of time and you've stopped by over at the Pet Stop in Shawnee, roughly Shawnee Mission Parkway in Neman, you undoubtedly have seen Frankie the Monkey. He's in an enclosure right inside the front door, right across from the cash registers. And Pet Stop is this, it's a great pet store, but they specialize in sort of exotic creatures, hedgehogs, scorpions, tarantulas.
Not your run-of-the-mill cat and dog adoption
center.
It's
not Pet Smart.
Yeah.
You're not, I mean, they do have hamsters, but, you know, they've just got a lot of unique creatures in there. They, of course, also sell pet food and pet supplies, etc. But right inside is a capuchin monkey by the name of Frankie. And I used to take the kids when they were younger to Pet Stop all the time just to see this monkey. And the owners of the store are right. The monkey, Frankie, has become sort of an attraction. And people gather around his, it's a pretty decent-sized enclosure. Okay. It's not a cage. It is a cage, but it's not like you would think of like a small cage. And Frankie swings from rope to rope and climbs up all these little things that are inside this cage, gets a lot of attention. People love him. And now there is a group led by a woman named Amanda, apparently. We're trying to reach out to her. We gave her a call. She didn't answer. And Amanda writes, Frankie is a capuchin monkey who has been living in complete isolation inside of a pet store for 17 years, his entire life. We have secured a spot at a sanctuary for him to be transferred to, all expenses paid, so that his quality of life can be improved. However, the store owners do not want to relinquish him because they use him as an attraction for their store. Our pressure campaign is aimed at encouraging the store owners to release Frankie. We have a lot of community support for his release. We recently ran an email campaign that saw more than 50,000 people send emails to the store asking for Frankie to go to sanctuary. And they have this flyer. And by the way, it's been a minute since I've seen Frankie. He's clearly aged. He looks a lot older than he did when I used to go take the girls to see him. And there is the enclosure that he's in at the store.
Okay.
Sam, what does the law say? I assume it's legal to own a monkey here.
There are zero restrictions for owning a monkey in the state of Kansas. You don't need a permit. You don't need a...
What about in North Carolina if you find one, I don't know, roaming around in your backyard?
You know, I'm not sure what you would have to do with the macaque in that situation.
Those are more free range.
They are.
And they weren't free range, but now they sort of...
Eight of them still are, yes.
Morphed into free range. I remember a time when we were growing up where even zoos had enclosures that at the time we could not have thought that those were appropriate.
Yeah.
Even way back then, we could not have thought with best practices, some of those enclosures were appropriate for the animals. I think even zoos recognize now you have to have socialization, you have to have room. And if you are going to be a zoo, you have to do these things and they do a better job of it. But I guess I would ask, what about the other primates that are in captivity? And if this is bad for Frankie the monkey, who is by all accounts loved by his owners and all of those things, what about the animals in captivity for research purposes in North Carolina? What about the animals in captivity at zoos? Like, and then where do you draw that line?
Mm-hmm. Having Frankie at a business does require licensing by that facility.
Oh, and insurance and all that, I would guess.
Just your house, there would be no restriction.
Yeah.
However, considering the Pet Stop sells all of these other exotic animals that I would assume they're licensed for, otherwise they probably wouldn't get away with selling them, they probably have the licenses necessary to take care of a monkey.
And I want to be clear, I was using the word exotic a little loosely. I mean, a tarantula is, you're not going to find a tarantula at PetSmart, but you would find one at Pet Stop. But it's not like they're selling electric eels or something. You know what I mean? I think I kind of misused the word exotic a little bit.
Well, exotic's in the eye of the beholder. If you told me you owned a monkey, I would be like, yeah, that seems exotic to me.
Or hedgehog. They sell hedgehogs and, I mean, you name it, they've got it. It's a great little pet store. Having said that, and having been in that store 1,000 times, there's no evidence that Frankie is being abused or misused. And if you were to put him into a monkey sanctuary, because he apparently needs socialization, how are the other monkeys going to adapt to him? And how is he going to adapt to them?
I think within the boundaries of a sanctuary, they understand those things and know those things and, you know, would carefully introduce him into the monkey sanctuary lifestyle, like all of the things that you would do to do that appropriately. I ask where you draw the line, and not just with monkeys, Scott. Look, I will say this. There are more old school pet stores that are in the business of selling bad ideas, if we're being honest. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about this pet store. I've never set foot in there. But is it a good idea to spend $5,000 on a dog where you don't really know where that dog came from? No. Is it a good idea for most people to own a hedgehog? You know that the answer is no.
Oh, they stink.
Is it a good idea for most people to go out and buy that gecko-looking lizard thing that was all the rage a couple years ago that end up living, I don't know, 60 years? You know, I think a lot of those places do the best that they can, but they're in the business of cashing in on a person's really bad idea. The bunny right before Easter.
Right.
Bad idea.
But isn't, and you want to talk about putting animals in small enclosures. Think about, I mean, what Frankie is dealing with is no different than a hamster in a hamster cage, or even worse, a bunny in a little bitty cage where they only get out every once in a while when 6-year-old Tina comes home from school and wants to play with her bunny for 1 week and then doesn't care about it anymore. I mean, what's the difference between what Frankie's dealing with and a dog in a small apartment?
Now, I do believe they passed regulations where pet stores aren't allowed to sell bunnies anymore, but let me double check on that.
Well, they used to sell bunnies at the pet stop all the time.
Sam, did you ever have a guinea pig growing up? Also a bad idea.
No, but we had two bunnies.
Oh, man.
They both died.
I'm sorry to hear that. That is the pinnacle of bad idea. Like, as an adult now looking back, you know that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, my kids are never getting a bunny ever.
What did you do with the bunny?
They died.
Well, how'd they die?
Well, one was a very tragic story. He broke his back. And I don't remember how the other one died.
Okay.
I think it was old age.
All right, good times.
Good times. Look, I'm the one that ended up with a cat in a dryer. I'm not throwing stones here. I'm just saying. In the hierarchy of animals and animal ownership, some are better ideas than others.
One tried to hang itself on your bra.
Also, not my intent.
Right.
Easter Joe did not end up in the dryer.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So if you've ever had occasion to go to the pet stop in Shawnee, roughly Shawnee Mission Parkway and Neiman, in the last 2 decades, you've probably noticed there is a monkey in a cage. It's about, my guess would be, 8 feet tall, 6-7 feet across. And it's a capuchin monkey named Frankie, who has lived there his entire life, 17 years. And there is a group called Kansas City Action for Animals that is trying to free Frankie. And they say they have all the expenses covered. They want to transfer him down to a sanctuary in Texas. And that Frankie is living a life that is not natural for a monkey like Frankie. Amanda is with that group, and she joins us on the KMBZ hotline. Amanda, hello.
Hi.
Hi, welcome. We were talking earlier. If you were to secure Frankie's release, for lack of a better word, would he have trouble socializing with similar monkeys after 17 years in captivity?
Yeah, so that is a frequent question that we get as part of the campaign. What we did when we first started was consult with several capuchin monkey experts and primatologists to ask them that very question, because we had that concern too. We want to increase Frankie's quality of life, not decrease it. So after talking to the primatologists and the sanctuary, they had overwhelming agreement that Frankie could indeed be reintroduced to a group of monkeys. It's just, it takes time, it takes experience, and it's not an easy thing to do, but it can be done.
You know, I've been to Pet Stop many times with my kids. When they were younger, I would take them to Pet Stop in large part to see Frankie. He is a bit of an attraction, would you not agree?
Yeah, I think that's actually his primary purpose in life, and that's why the store owners, Greg and Andy, acquired him. He does bring in business for the store. We just disagree that that's, you know, it's not a good quality of life for a sentient primate to be imprisoned for their entire life in isolation.
Then why do states allow it, Amanda? Because certainly we have heard other stories over the years where families adopt these animals to take home. It's not my thing. I don't think it's a good idea for the family or the animal, but it certainly happens.
Well, why do the states allow a lot of unethical relationships with other animals? I think there is generally in our culture and our society this train of thinking that we are entitled to have companionship, to have entertainment, to have meals, you know, provided to us by other species, whether they like it or not. And that's part of our laws in the society we live in. And unfortunately, Frankie is just a casualty of that relationship we have with other animals in our society.
But we were talking about this before you joined us on the program. What would be the difference between Frankie in his enclosure and a dog in a small apartment or a rabbit in a cage?
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, well, I'm coming from an animal rights perspective, so I might answer that question a little bit differently than others, but on the surface, I think if we're talking about Frankie, who's a capuchin monkey, he is a primate, like a human animal is a primate. He has all of the same emotions, most of the same intellect we do, most of the same capacities we do. So imagine yourself living in a 10-foot by 10-foot cage, you almost got the size right, for 17 years of your life. You don't get to see anyone of your own species. You don't get to eat what you want. You don't get to go where you want. You don't get to hide when you want. That's how Frankie feels, and that's how he's felt for his entire life, and that's an unfortunate way to live.
So I understand that there was an email campaign, and people have very strong feelings when it comes to animals one way or the other, and we've been closely following the dumpster fire in North Carolina after the escape of all of the monkeys there at the lab. I'm not going to ask you what the owners of the pet shop say or certainly what they are feeling, but is there anything legally that can be done other than appealing to their, you know, moral senses or compass to do what you believe is the right thing?
Unfortunately, no. Because capuchin monkeys are not on the Endangered Species Act list of endangered species like a chimpanzee would be, there are no legal levers in Kansas or Missouri to do anything as far as getting them released from personal property status. Someone in Missouri and Kansas, as long as they have a permit, can basically do whatever they want to a capuchin monkey. If you've seen the HBO docuseries Chimp Crazy, they kind of addressed that legality issue, but the reason that they were able to succeed in releasing the chimps in that documentary is because chimps are endangered. Capuchin monkeys, unfortunately, are not endangered.
Got it.
Now, I don't need to tell you, I'm sure, Amanda, the average lifespan of a capuchin monkey is 15 to 25 years. Frankie is, if we're being honest, nearing the end of his life.
Yeah, capuchin monkeys in captivity specifically can live up to 30 years, actually. In the wild, yeah, we're talking more of Frankie being at the end of his life. But because he's a captive capuchin monkey, he has another half of his life left. He's solidly middle-aged.
And how would you get him down to the sanctuary if you were to ever secure his release?
Yeah, we would have some professional exotic animal handlers, or perhaps if Greg and Andy, the store owners, would like to do it themselves, they're welcome to as well. But we already have a sanctuary lined up with him, with professionals who know how to do this. And we have support from animal welfare organizations that would also help us out with transport, with funding. And we also have the expenses covered for Greg and Andy to visit Frankie in the sanctuary whenever they want.
How did you become aware of Frankie's story and situation?
Yeah, well, actually, I became aware of Frankie's situation from another activist in the city. Frankie has been on the radar of animal welfare advocates in the Kansas City area for many years. There have been protests, there have been letters. There has been a general uneasiness with this kind of captivity for many years in the city. It's just, this is the first time that a group of people, community members, neighbors, have come together and said, let's formalize, let's really do something about this. And that's why right now we're kind of pushing it harder than it has been in the past.
Amanda, do appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
Okay, be well. Thank you. 913-586-7798. Stephen in Olathe. Stephen, hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, one thing that bothers me is that there are people out there that have these animal sanctuaries that, you know, they'll say that they're taking animals from an enclosure, and they'll just put that same animal right back inside of an enclosure. And somehow, since I've got the name sanctuary in my name, it's exponentially better for them. And it's just wrong. I don't think, I think that it's gaslighting to the textbook definition of it. And I would leave by saying, you know, imagine being the monkey king of the pet store and then having to go to being in a group of monkeys that somehow you are in a hierarchy and you're no longer that monkey king. I say leave Frankie alone.
All right, Stephen. Do appreciate the call. 913-586-7798. Get some t-shirts printed up. Just say, leave Frankie alone. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, what's in a name? And have you ever been going through old paperwork and photographs and realized that your entire life has been a lie?
Okay, all right.
We'll talk about that in the 3 o'clock hour.
By the way,
whose life has been a lie?
I don't know, Sam. Pretty sure I am living a real life episode of the Lifetime Hallmark movie Event Switched at Birth.
Okay.
Did you see there was a lawsuit over the weekend of a woman who claims she was switched at birth and she is suing the hospital?
Oh, we will be getting to that.
Okay.
By the way, since we are talking all things monkeys this hour, Dana wanted an update on the South Carolina monkeys. As of 4 hours ago, according to the Associated Press, six of the monkeys remain on the loose.
Oh, two more got caught, huh?
Freedom! Mm-hmm. I misspoke earlier. I said North Carolina, but honestly, the six are probably already in North Carolina.
If they're smart.
They're new residents.
Go west.
Go west. That would be north.
I know. I said go west.
I know. Okay.
Okay.
The NBA fined Charlotte Hornets guard LaMelo Ball $100,000 yesterday for using offensive and derogatory language during a post-game TV interview. At issue was an anti-gay phrase that Ball used when answering a sideline interviewer's question about defending the last shot in Charlotte's 115-114 win over the Bucks on Saturday. Hornets coach Charles Lee addressing Ball's remarks in his postgame press conference and said Ball was, quote, very apologetic. Okie dokie.
What did he say?
You should not.
Was it the same thing that that guy was
yelling
at Jason
Kelsey? I believe it was, but he got fined $100,000. Despite the big care package we got last week for the movie Red One, where there are hats and T-shirts out in the newsroom.
You name it, we got it. And they were advertising that movie pretty heavily during football yesterday, but go ahead.
It didn't work. Moviegoers were not exactly feeling the Christmas spirit this weekend, or at least not based on their attendance at Red One showings. The movie, which cost $200 million to make, only grossed $34 million in its opening weekend.
Now, keep in mind, it is only November 18th. I guarantee you it's going to rise in popularity the closer we get to Christmas.
Sam, I don't know, and let me tell you why. Gladiator drops this Friday the 22nd. Mm-hmm. That is supposed to be the holiday movie event of the year. We already have plans to go.
Why didn't they send us a care package?
I know, because they don't need it. They've got Denzel Washington. They don't need it. I think everyone our age, Scott, is going to run Do Not Walk to see that film.
I can't wait to see it. It opens Friday, right? This Friday?
This Friday.
Was it the NFL that they did a commercial with?
Yeah.
That commercial was awesome.
So good.
Red One, by the way, some are pinning its budget at $250 million.
My gosh.
When did movies, I can still to this day, I know I mentioned this a couple of months ago, I can still to this day remember when Kevin Costner made Waterworld, and it was a $200 million. It was the first ever $200 million budgeted movie,
and was a flop.
It was a horrible flop. I love Waterworld, but nobody else did. And I remember thinking back then, how can you spend $200 million making a movie?
Oh, that's much easier to do today than it was back then.
I mean, the post-production.
Yeah, but.
Ever watch the credits and you see the hundreds of people, even on a regular movie, there are hundreds of people involved in post-production.
The key grip.
No, that's production. I'm talking post-production, the editing and the CGI and all of that.
Guess what, you guys, children
it's
of the
expensive.
80s. Oh, my gosh. There is a documentary coming to CNN. It's an original series documentary.
Of course it is.
Called How It Really Happened.
Oh, yeah.
The Tylenol Murders.
Yep.
Listen to this. It is almost unimaginable today. A police car slowly moving down your street. It's loudspeaker blaring. Do not take Tylenol until further notice. But that was indeed the scene in Chicago's suburbs in the fall of 1982.
Mm-hmm.
The events that led to those warnings sent chills down the spines of millions of Americans. A string of unsolved murders is the subject of the CNN original series documentary, How It Really Happened, The Tylenol Murders. I cannot wait. One of those deaths, by the way, was a 12-year-old girl by the name of Mary Kellerman in Elk Grove Village, Illinois. The same day she took the Tylenol, less than 10 miles away, a 27-year-old postal worker took two caplets. He later died. Mm. I want to go back because that changed the way medication is manufactured. It changed the way it is packaged.
Mm-hmm. It was cyanide. During the initial investigation, a man named James William Lewis was accused of sending a letter to Johnson & Johnson demanding $1 million to stop the cyanide-induced murders. Upon his arrest, Lewis told authorities how the person behind the attacks may have carried out the killings by buying Tylenol, adding cyanide to the bottles, and then returning them to the store shelves.
I forgot about this. The first indication that Tylenol played a role in those deaths came when Helen Jensen, who was then the Arlington Heights Village nurse, visited the Janus home where one of the deaths had taken place and noticed that six capsules were missing from the same Tylenol bottle. That's how this unraveled. Health officials later found that the capsules had been taken apart and that the Tylenol powder had been replaced with potassium cyanide.
There was another man by the name of Roger Arnold who was investigated as a possible suspect. In early January 2009, authorities in Illinois renewed the investigation. Federal agents searched the home of Lewis, that's the original suspect,
yep,
James Lewis, in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and seized a number of items. In Chicago, an FBI spokesman declined to comment, but said, quote, we'll have something to release later, possibly.
Did you know DNA samples were requested from Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber?
I didn't know that.
Officials could never definitively link any of the suspects you named or Kaczynski to the poisonings.
Huh. When is this air? Because they're also doing another one on the Iran hostage crisis.
Let me look. I'll find it. But I will be watching that.
So they do these series pretty frequently. I don't know if it's every weekend or not, but what's it called? How It Really Happened or
yep.
something like that?
Yep.
Yeah. CNN's been doing a lot of that on the weekends. Beyonce is coming to your home on Christmas, provided you have Netflix and are tuning into the Baltimore Ravens-Houston Texans game.
Okay.
Netflix announcing late yesterday that the megastar would perform during halftime of a Christmas Day matchup in her hometown of Houston. The streaming service did not reveal details about the performance, but teased that it would likely feature guest appearances from her Cowboy Carter album. Well, hopefully Netflix can do better with the Sunday Christmas game. Check out the Christmas game than they did with
It's Tyson Sunday
and Jake
night,
Paul.
By the way. It's Sunday night, which is great. Like, I will...
We're back on CNN, right?
We're back on CNN. I will go find that online and watch it. Why would they put something like that up against Sunday Night Football?
Counter-programming?
I guess for the handful of people that don't watch Sunday Night Football.
Well, I mean, if it's a boring game or two teams I don't care about, I'd watch that. Or they can just put it on that streaming service CNN Plus. Oh, wait.
Yeah, they can't do that. Can't do that.
That lasted 2 weeks.
Trying too hard.
Quick break for the news. That's right. That's exactly right. Quick break for the news with Dan Weinbaum. That comes your way in 2 minutes here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.